Hey, Peter.
Brian, you're on the other side of the country right now.
Yeah, it's like this is like a ghost whisper of me.
You're out in Oregon, but I'm still here in Massachusetts, and big things afoot this coming weekend, my friend. Do you know what they are?
Well, this is the Run for All Women weekend.
It sure is. There's going to be a 50-mile point-to-point relay to raise funds for Massachusetts Planned Parenthood. I'm going to be part of it in some way, my friend. I'm going to throw on the Run for All Women shirt that Charlotte Walsh gave me, and I'm going to help run out some miles with the social media guru somewhere between Gloucester and Boston.
And no doubt Andrea and I will be about 3 hours behind you on the West Coast running in our shirts supporting the cause. But I want to bring you back.
Yeah.
I want to bring you back to our initial conversation with Allison DeZier. As Run for All Women was just becoming a concept, she had just finished her epic run from Harlem to D.C. to arrive at the Women's March and raise over $100,000 for Planned Parenthood. And people were asking her, what's next? Well, now we know.
Yeah, now we sure do know.
The end of the story.
Oh, no. No. You're not allowed to do that. That's trademark. Yeah. You can't have that.
No one listening to this podcast has any idea who Paul Harvey is or his shows or his magnificent radio delivery.
But you've just brought him back into relevance, so kudos to you. We should be getting a check from their estate soon.
I agree.
Mr. Harvey's estate is going to sue us.
How was your run today? Folks, go look it up in your radio archives.
So everybody, sit back, enjoy this interview from February with founder of Run for All Women, Allison DeZier. We hope you enjoy it, and please get out there and help support on August 13th, the point-to-point relay 50-mile race. You can check that out at runforallwomen.com, that's the number four, and get more information about the multi-state runs that are happening this weekend. See you, Brian.
Come on, Bray.
All right. Hello, listeners of How Was Your Run Today? So much has changed since we last spoke. I'm excited because this week is actually the launch of our national events for Run for All Women. I believe in the podcast I mentioned that we were just at the very beginning of creating an ambassador program and finding women across the country who wanted to continue to do the kind of things that we were doing. This weekend, we have events happening across the country in Massachusetts, Louisiana, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, California, and we've already raised an additional $25,000 for Planned Parenthood. I'll be going to New Orleans and super excited to participate in that 140-mile relay. Additionally, I am featured in Under Armour Women's most recent campaign alongside Missy Copeland, Natasha Hastings, Jesse Graff, Zoe Zhang, and Lindsay Vaughn. The title of the campaign is Unlike Any, and it showcases each of our stories and encourages women to really think about the ways that they are unlike anyone else and how incredible it is to be your true, authentic self. What else? I started a podcast. You can check it out on SoundCloud at soundcloud.com/AllisonMDeZier. You can find it on iTunes, on Google Play. The name of the podcast is Find Meaning on the Run. And I talk about the ways that people find meaning in their life, whether it's through running, whether it's through working with youth, whether it's through poetry, any number of ways that people have really found themselves, hoping that this podcast can demystify the process and maybe help you do the same. And finally, I got engaged. So the same day as the launch of the Unlike Any campaign for Under Armour, my fiance, Amir Figueroa, got down on one knee and totally surprised me. So I am now engaged. Don't yet have a date for the wedding, but I'm sure that when that happens, you will be in the know. That's what's new. And thank you to How Was Your Run Today for the opportunity to replay my podcast and let you guys in on what's going on.
HWIRT presents
Summer Rewind. And now we remus.
Snazzle piece, now we bet she.
Brian, how was your run of this day?
Of this day, the run was in Harvard Stadium. The snow is nearly gone. I ran a full tour. That's 37 sections.
Wow, man.
I feel a great sense of accomplishment since I haven't been able to do that due to weather and schedule for at least a month.
Sure, sure.
I also feel like my legs are made out of cement and I feel very old. But, so those are the two contrasting emotions. The yin and the yang of my brain right now is, wow, I did this. I'm very powerful. And the other is, whew, that was really hard. I wish it wasn't so hard. I think my age and my body are working against me.
I think both of those things are very true.
Yes.
And I think that's just the direction that we're headed.
I can tell you something else.
Okay.
As this podcast drops, because we're recording it a little bit in advance.
Drop.
I'll be enjoying my runs in San Diego, California.
That's right. You're going to leave me here alone on the East Coast.
That's right.
Manning the controls, the podcast ship controls.
You and the interns.
And I have to launch this episode into pod space by myself.
You can do it. I know you can do it. You don't need my help anymore. You've never needed my help.
I'm going to agree.
You've always been a lone wolf.
I'm going to agree to agree with you.
In fact, this show is almost like your show is happening, and then I have a show that's happening, and we just splice them together.
I don't know. I kind of feel like it's Jeff Cronenberg's show, and he just asks us to talk in between his music.
You make a very good point, and I think I'm agreeing with you there.
Speaking of Jeff Cronenberg's music.
Do you see how we can find common ground? It's so easy to do.
I see that. Speaking of Jeff Cronenberg's music.
Ooh, wow.
I know.
It's a lot.
It takes you back.
It does something.
Takes you back, pushes you forward. It does all sorts of things.
Peter.
Hello.
How much do you weigh?
221. Not nary a change. Nothing has happened.
What's going on with you?
I don't want to say I'm flatlining.
But that's another story.
I think we're at that moment where the big push is going to happen now. Mm-hmm. And it's just the deep dive. Here it comes.
You're using language, but it's very random.
Totally it's random. Random language.
It's almost meaningless. Deep dive, blah, blah, blah. What do you mean?
I'm eating
You're
going
to be putting on big miles?
I'm eating too
and
much.
And eating big meals.
I'm eating too much. Yeah.
Have you you've reached the part of the training where you can't lose any weight.
I don't want to believe that that's true.
I actually don't think that that's true. I think
it goes like this. It goes down, it goes down, it holds. It goes down, it goes down, it holds.
I believe that
that's
true.
I think we might see this again. This is week 7. Maybe at week 3 we see this. Do you know what I mean?
By week 3 or week 4 before the marathon is when I know what I'm going to weigh on the marathon.
Yeah, you can do a little forecast. You
say, because it's not going to change, basically.
It's only going to go up with the taper. Thanks.
Yeah, but then it goes back. I mean, it's fine.
What I need from you and for you to think about this while you're out in San Diego sunbathing.
Oh, it's going to be so nice.
You need to keep me on the straight and narrow. The
75 degrees.
Okay.
Sunny.
All right.
Ocean. Oh.
You're not there yet, so come back to me now.
Yeah. Oh, hi.
What I need from you as a friend and as a partner in podcasting, what I need from you is the 12 or 14 days pre-Boston Marathon.
Yes.
Keep me on the straight and narrow with the food.
Well, since I only see you part of each day at most.
30 minutes a day, that's all we're allowed.
I will make sure that you eat a good lunch. How's that?
Yeah.
That's usually the meal I see.
That's the one I need help with because I got to stay salad-based.
Yes.
I can't go bread, cheese, meats, cured
a little bit of meat.
No, cured meats, no.
You
stop
it. You can do a little chicken.
I could do a little
grilled
chicken.
Grilled chicken only.
I could do a little grilled chicken.
Yeah, no Italians.
No Italians.
No subs, no sandwiches, no pizza, no pasta.
Oh, gosh.
No.
I know.
Stop,
I hear you.
Get it out of your brain right now.
Lasagna.
If you're going to have a burrito, it's got to be veggie burrito.
And all, yeah, no cheese.
No.
And no sour cream.
No. Save all that stuff for dinner.
I can have a little guac.
Yeah, you can have
teeny
guac.
Though. Not like the way I do guac.
No, it's fine.
Also, 16 ounces is not a single serving of hummus.
If you're worried about your hummus intake, you've got a whole nother situation going on. You can eat as much hummus as you want.
I focus on the wrong things.
It's chickpeas.
Brian. I focus on the wrong things.
It's chickpeas.
Yeah, but I use an entire box of Stone Wheat Thins.
Yeah, that's the problem.
To shovel that down.
Yeah, and then you're like, oh, that would taste better with cheese, and you take the can of cheese and you spray the aerosol can of cheese down your face.
No, I just take Munster slices and fold them into quarters.
Right.
And then eat the stack of four slices.
So here's an idea.
Because it feels good in my mouth.
Here's an idea.
When I chew it.
Get a spoon.
Oh, no.
Eat hummus.
No, not with measurements. No, and the
no, you eat the whole.
Oh, I see.
Just eat 47 pounds of it.
But the cracker is the spoon.
That's
the
your
problem.
Error.
That's where I've nailed it.
How about dried plantains as your spoon?
Well, that's weird.
Banana chips.
I guess I could go banana chips. Are those apricots. Better for you?
Apricots.
Ooh, apricots.
Are banana chips better than crackers? Are you an adult?
Are you a nutritionist? Because you're like an angry...
That's a
like
serious
an angry,
question.
Frustrated nutritionist right now.
If I was a medical professional, I would have to pay people so I could... They could come to me with questions like you just asked me, and I could berate them.
Oh, this is why you should never
that's
ever
why,
do that.
Don't, that's why I did not go into that profession.
Please don't be one of those.
Oh.
All right, so it's carrot sticks for here on out.
I make plenty of mistakes in my eating, in my training.
I see it every day.
In my life. But I love to point out ones that other people make.
You do. You really do.
And it's wonderful to have a platform to let other people know about what's going on.
Speaking of letting people know what's going on.
Peter?
Yeah.
Can you take this crown? Because you are now the king of segues.
Thank you so
much.
That
was gorgeous.
We have a guest today. Very special guest.
Yes.
Who came by way of Skype.
She did.
For the first time in three attempts.
From the Columbia University Library.
Live from the Columbia University Library.
Allison DeZier.
Who put together, of course, the Run for All Women.
From New York City to Washington, D.C.
240 miles?
240 miles.
And she was raising awareness and funds for Planned Parenthood.
And she had never run an ultra before.
No, she had only come to serious distance running about 4 or so years ago. And has run a couple marathons. And then a couple years ago, founded Harlem Run, a running club in Harlem, New York.
Right. Another organization where activity and community come together.
Right. And she was a little dismayed by the election and wanted to do some in public involvement and awareness around Planned Parenthood. And she put together with three friends this long-distance run.
And she thought maybe that's all it would be. And it became an enormous event, raising over $100,000 and really launching what looks like the bulk of her activity for at least the next year, which is continuing the Run for All Women.
It's an amazing story, and she's an amazing person, and we were lucky to have her speak with us. Let's go listen to that.
Peter.
Hi, Brian.
We have on the line Allison DeZier.
I don't believe you.
No kidding.
I don't believe that this interview is actually going to take place in real time.
It's real.
There she is. I hear the voice.
Allison, thank you so much for being with us.
Yeah, it's my pleasure.
You're something of a legend already, Allison. This is happening for you.
Yeah, it's been an amazing couple of months.
Well, I think most recently we're thinking about your 240-mile run from New York City to Washington, D.C.
Yes.
I have a question to lead off with that, which is 240-mile run to D.C. How long did it take you to walk back?
Funny. We got on a bus, and I was so happy to be on a bus. I'm still feeling like a little bit of knee pain, actually, from the run. but incredible, incredible experience.
Talk about what was the most mileage you did in any one day on that run?
So probably the first day I did like 30, 35 miles, which was against my better judgment. I knew that I should, like the way that we worked it out is we broke up the mileage into 4 mile portions so that women could join us along the way and they could take on mileage so that we could share the mileage, essentially saving our legs for when there were less people available to run the miles. But there was so much excitement on the first day that I think I ran like 30, 35 miles. And you know, that's a lot of mileage at once. But then it's compounded by the fact that you go into the van and you're sitting there and that you can't really get any blood circulation and you can't really stretch out and get comfortable. So overall, I ran about 75 miles. And I think the little knee pain that I do have is just from not having like ideal recovery options in a van of full of people.
Well, I know that you've run several marathons and you're a regular runner, and we'll talk a little bit about that in a second. But are you an experienced ultra marathoner? Have you run multiple day overnight events like this?
Not at all. I had run one ultra marathon previously for my birthday. I ran a 32 mile run around Manhattan.
Wow.
I'd always dreamed of doing like some kind of Ragnar relay, but the opportunity never came up. So, you know, initially with Run for All Women, it was going to be a 5-day journey leaving on Martin Luther King Day and arriving on Friday, the day before the Women's March. And we would be running mileage every day and then sleeping at people's homes along the route. But when hundreds of people started reaching out wanting to participate, that's when we converted it to this overnight relay. So I wound up having the opportunity to like create my own Ragnar relay and have this experience.
And what was the inspiration for doing it? What made you say, as someone who came to running only, what, a handful of years ago, 4 or 5 years ago?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What made you say, oh, this is the way I want to make an impact about, and what historically is happening for you right now, that this was the moment you thought, we have to do this kind of event?
Right. So I was active growing up, but I ran the 400 meter and the 400 meter hurdles in high school. So by no means was I a distance runner. And I came to running distance in 2012 when I was going through a period of depression. I was unemployed. My father's Lewy body dementia diagnosis was worsening. My boyfriend broke up with me and was cheating on me. So I came to running as a way to sort of cope with depression. And it really helped me transform myself, not only physically, but also mentally. So for me, my experience with running and distance running in particular has always been really transformational and inspiring, empowering. And so thinking, like reflecting on the moment with Donald Trump, newly elected president, feeling like I hadn't done enough during the election period to help Hillary get elected, I felt like this was my moment to once again use running as a vehicle for social change and in a way that was much more powerful than myself. I never anticipated that this many people would be just as crazy as I am and want to get involved. But once I put the idea out there, I put it out on January 2nd, and within, you know, 6 or 7 days, we had raised the original goal of $44,000 for Planned Parenthood. So it sort of took on a life of its own, and I think it's because so many men and women, it resonated with them to use running in this way. And at this historical moment, I think it's just the time that people everywhere need to get creative about their activism and find how to align like your passion with a greater purpose.
And it sounds like you're doing just that. You're moving Run for All Women from this single incredible event to a larger movement, is that right?
Yeah, it's funny because like before I had even finished, you know, the initial Run for All Women, everybody's question was like, what's next? And I was like, I'm gonna like lay down and sleep for a really long time. Like, could I just have a break for a moment? But I'm actually really grateful for that energy and excitement because it's allowed us to think about how do we maintain this momentum, because we at least have 4 more crazy years. So what we've decided upon right now is that you know, hundreds of women reach out to us, not only around this one event, but also asking for help and advice on how to host their own sort of long distance relay fundraiser for Planned Parenthood. So what we decided to do was create an ambassador program where we would bring all these women together rather than answer, you know, each of the hundreds of emails by themselves, bring all these women together to a summit where we can train them with give them the tools that we learned through our own process. And then in August, we would throw a simultaneous runs all across the country, all fundraising for Planned Parenthood. So the summit and this national event, that's our next steps. And believe me, people are even asking, like, what about next year? And I'm like, let's make it through April. But the excitement is incredible.
You're still on the foam roller post DC run, right?
Exactly. I'm like, I'm trying to walk normally. That's my main priority. But
I actually have a question going back to that initial run, which was when you had this brainchild to do the run. You had three compatriots who said they would do it with you, right? And then you were essentially organizing a very complicated, it sounds simple, let's just run from New York to D.C., but you require support. At least you have to buy the food and know what route you're going to take and all of that. So I assume you're consumed with that, and then you put up a fundraising page. How did it become such an enormous enterprise and a big success? Or when did it become bigger than you assumed it was going to be?
Honestly, it was like by day two.
Wow.
So yeah, I put the GoFundMe out on a Monday, and my mother made a donation of $200. And I honestly thought that was going to be the biggest single donation. And I was so proud that my mom was donating to this crazy idea. But by the time I woke up on Tuesday, I think we had already raised $8,000, mm-hmm. and women started to email. So by the third day, I was like developing an email list where I was keeping, like, let's say 20 women in the loop of what was going on. And then it became pretty clear to me that so many people wanted to be involved that the original setup just wouldn't work if I wanted to have them participate with me. So I reached out to a mentor of mine who does, she's an ultra marathoner and has done a lot of these overnight relays, and she helped me convert the route into this relay plan. But really, like, for the 2 to 3 weeks beforehand, this consumed my life in a really great way. And you know, people reached out to me and they told me, like, thank you for doing this, because I was able to forget that Trump was actually being elected because I had something else to focus my energies on. I wasn't sad and upset knowing that his inauguration was around the corner. So for me, it really consumed my life, but it also consumed the lives of several hundred other women and men who were getting involved with me.
And now on the other side of all that, what has your daily life been like since the notoriety and sort of the change that has occurred from the massive success you've had?
Well, one really cool thing is I actually went to the Milrose Games a couple of weeks ago. And obviously I was there being the biggest fan in the world of all these like Olympic athletes and elite athletes. And several people came up to me actually later at the bar Coogan's, you know, famous bar uptown, and were like, you're that girl. Like, oh my God, you're that girl who ran to DC. And I'm like, meanwhile, there's like Natasha Hastings and there's whoever else. So that was a pretty cool moment. But really what it's been, like I said, from the minute, even before we finished the event, people were asking me what's next. So my time has really been focused on trying to come up with this plan for what's next, to keep the energy and the momentum, responding to emails, and also thinking of how, like, what I can do to help other people get creative in their activism, as I said. I think that's probably my biggest revelation for myself, and maybe like the biggest contribution that I can make is helping other people figure out how to turn their passions into something bigger.
And then for you personally, what is it what's on the horizon for you from a run standpoint as a race runner? What's the next thing? Do you have a goal for yourself this year?
So I'm running the Boston Marathon this year, actually, not because I qualified, but I'm part of a team of women influencers who are running in honor of the 50th anniversary of the first woman running the Boston Marathon. So, you know, I, like, my knee is acting up. It's definitely not going to be a fast marathon, but I think, like, this is really my year of using running in I shouldn't say more meaningful way, because running is a meaningful experience, but using running as a vehicle for social change. So when I'm running the Boston Marathon, it's about celebrating, like, women's rights and women's ability to participate and do things that people say that we can't do. And then beyond that, I think I'm just going to try to heal up and do some 5Ks over the summer. But I feel like I started the year with a bang. I don't I did the most already. So
yeah, no, that was by no means. Hey, what's next? I mean, you've done enough actually for several people's lifetimes. So you're good.
Yeah.
You're good. When you come to town, will you meet Bobby Gibbs? Is that who you're going to meet with? Or?
So actually, okay. So I should have said first woman with a numbered entry. Mm-hmm. So not Bobby Gibb, Catherine Switzer.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah. So I'm hoping, you know, it's funny, like we're on this, like I said, influencer ambassador team. And I know that there's going to be a lot of great stuff when we get to Boston, but I'm not really sure what that looks like. I do hope I would to have the opportunity to meet Catherine Switzer.
Is this your first time running Boston? Is that what you said?
First time. Yep.
Oh, it's a killer race. You're going to love it.
You're going to love it.
I cannot wait. Cannot wait.
What other marathons have you run?
So my first marathon was the San Diego Rock and Roll Marathon in June of 2012. And then I ran New York twice. New York three times. So those are the four marathons that I've run. This will be my fifth. And I ran the one ultra marathon, just like unsanctioned for my birthday. And a ton of half marathons, 5Ks, 10Ks.
And when you dove back into running as an adult, as essentially a form of therapy, as so many of us do, did you dive right into a marathon, or did you just go out and run, you know, till you felt tired out or you felt like it did what it needed to do and then come back?
So I had seen that my friend's brother was training for a marathon and fundraising for a cause. He was posting on Facebook about Team and Training and the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. And so I asked him about his experience, and you know, he told me that it was a really supportive community, and he felt like it was, he had also never run anything like this before. You know, he wasn't a runner, period, like wasn't active at all. So I signed up with the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. So my first race was set to be that marathon, but on the way to getting there, I ran my first 5K and my first half marathon as well. But it's like I dove right in. I guess that's not a surprise based on other things that I've done in my life, but I really went for it.
You do strike us as sort of an all or nothing type of person. Would you say that's fair?
Yeah, how'd you get that impression? You know, it's funny because when I was little, my nickname, Powdered Feet. So my dad was Haitian, my mom is Colombian. And the nickname means like somebody who never stays still. You just see their footprints in powder. So my parents thought that I was going to be like hugely self-destructive because I could, like, I was all or nothing, like all over the place. But it's served me well, thankfully.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Harlem Run, which is an organization that you began that was, again, your brainchild that has really grown from the seed that you started.
Yeah, I ran my first marathon in June of 2012, and I had been blogging about the experience really just for myself, like as like a diary of what I was learning about myself and how I was feeling and the impact that running was having on me. And my mom shared the blog, and then all of a sudden, all these other people were reading the blog and were interested in what I was saying. And it got to a point that I felt like I wanted to have a tangible expression of what I was experiencing. So I started Powdered Feet Run Club in November of 2013 after my nickname, and nobody came for like 4 months because of course it was super cold, and like at that time there wasn't really any running culture uptown in Harlem in terms of group running. Like every now and then you saw like the solo person, but there was no group running uptown. So probably like February or March, the first girl like wandered in, and we started running together, and I was posting all over social media pretending that other people were with me. So it was like mostly just pictures of sneakers and like
super fake it till you make it.
Exactly. Like
some running podcasts have followed that same strategy.
Yeah, I don't want to say that we have thousands and thousands of listeners today, but maybe we do. Maybe.
Listen, whatever you got to do. so then eventually, like I was posting on meetup.com, and Kai, who's now one of like my fellow co-leaders, he happened to show up one day and really was like interested and excited about the idea. And then Amir showed up, who's also another co-leader, and my boyfriend now showed up. And so, you know, little by little, the group began to grow to be like 10, 15 people. That summer, my same mentor, the woman who helped me convert Run for All Women into Relay, her name is Mary Arnold. She owned the domain name harlemrun.com. So she was like, look, Allison, like, I love your whole Powdered Feet thing, but nobody knows what that is. Like, take this domain and run with it. And I think that really was what allowed people to find us online. And then people just started showing up. And before we knew it, like a year and a half later, we had like 100 people showing up to our runs. And it's grown from there.
That's an amazing lesson in branding. That's,
yes.
That's crazy. Now, yeah. So you've never had a bad idea. I mean, that's your track
no,
record.
Actually, no, that's what's amazing. Like, if only you could see my journals and my diaries. Like, every day I wake up with some crazy shit. And I'll tell them to Amir or to my mom. And they're like, nope, not that one. That's not the one. I'm like, okay. 24 hours later, I have another crazy idea. So that's the thing, though. Like, I'm a super creative person. And if I weren't comfortable, like I'm really comfortable just generating ideas and like seeing what happens with them. And thankfully, you know, two of them so far have become something, but there are probably like thousands that I hope no one ever hears about.
So taking it back to the New York to DC run, I'm very curious to know what was the lowest moment in that run? Because I could imagine there might have been sections just geographically that were very solo and very yeah. alone. Did you yeah. have any time at any point where you're like, wow, this is much harder than I thought?
Yeah, you know, and not for those reasons, not because I was feeling alone. Like, you know, we had a van and there were the four main women, and then Mary Arnold was in the van and my boyfriend was in the van, and we had a photographer and a videographer. So there were, you know, people around, but there were two moments that stick out to me. One was when we were on this beautiful trail. I think we were in Delaware somewhere, and we had, like, over the course of the 3 days, I probably slept 5 hours total because it was so uncomfortable in the van. So we were like exhausted, and like, and it was beautiful, and but it was a little humid, and there were like deer, and it was just like this really picturesque moment, but we were so exhausted. And I remember thinking, like, what if there were three of us? Like, what if we all just fell asleep right now on this trail? Like, the van doesn't know where we are. Like, mm-hmm. Who would find us, you know? So thinking about just how serious what we were doing was, that was one moment. And then another moment when we were heading into Baltimore, we were going to be meeting up with the Baltimore PD, who had offered to escort us through the city, not because they felt it was dangerous, but because they wanted to show their support. And so we knew that we were about to encounter like hundreds of people who were waiting for us in Baltimore, and the police would be leading us there. And I just like, it was so overwhelming to know, like, you're exhausted, you're uncomfortable, you're so close to DC, and now you're going to be in front of like hundreds of people, you know? And I had to check myself and say, this is like a privilege and this is so much bigger than you. But I was like irritable and tired, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, you don't really want to be in front of a crowd when you're smelly and like tired. But I just had to check my ego and be like, this is not about you. So get yourself together.
Allison, after I run 4 miles, I don't want to look at anybody, and I want to take a shower, and I want to lay down, and I need 3 hours of me time.
You can only imagine. At one like there was one point where like Kim, another one of the women, hugged me because she was like, "You just look so irritable. You needed love at that moment." I was like, "I needed a lot of things," but she was right. The hug helped.
So when you do this, my lesson from all of that, because I'm a practical person, is when you do this again next year, you're going to get a larger van, right?
There you go. That's it. That's the only difference. And probably schedule in an additional shower. That would be my other.
How much of the course that you mapped out for yourself was street, you know, asphalt versus trail?
The large majority was asphalt. The trail, there was like, we were somewhere near Trenton, I believe. I wish I could remember where it was, but it was only like a 30, 35 mile stretch of trail. And the rest, we did our best to plan a route that was off of main roads. But as you can see from some of the images, like, there were definitely moments when the van was behind us and we were on like a 3-lane highway.
Yeah,
and
you're right there.
Yeah, exactly. Another really cool thing that happened is when we converted it to the relay, we put the Excel document out there with all the information, and you know, it sort of became this like crowdsourcing document. People were writing in and saying, oh, that's not the right way to go. Oh, that's a dead end. You might choose this route. So it became this like all hands on deck situation. And when you think about the fact that this link to this Google Doc was available to the entire world, was in like every news article that came out, and nobody deleted a single like sell from it, that's also amazing. Because somebody, like, I'm paranoid, so I was going in and I was copying the document every 2 hours. But nobody did anything malicious, and certainly it was out there for people to do. So
that is amazing.
Yeah.
And given all those experiences that you've had, especially just in the last month or so, what are your lessons in this type of organizing and activism?
Yeah, the key lesson is really just that you have to do it. And it sounds so simple, but I think like my experience with my own personal running journey and then starting Harlem Run and Run for All Women is that I had no idea what I was starting when I started it. I just knew that I had an idea and I felt passionate about it. So actually, if I was starting Run for All Women and I knew that it was going to become what it has in fact become, I might have been too overwhelmed and nervous to go forward with it. So like, you never know what's going to come of what you're doing. So I think like, I always encourage people to just start. And the other thing is to let people in on what you're doing and let them like really take on ownership of it. I think like sometimes when you're creative, you birth something, this idea, and it's your baby and you're so protective of it and you don't let other people share in it and it's just yours and then nothing comes of it. You have to let other people get excited about your idea and pitch in and like lend their talents and their abilities. And that's the way that it grows into a movement. So yeah, those would be my two things to start, like actually, you know, start what's in your head, get it out on paper or get it out into the world, and then let other people be part of the process.
A little digression. We have a segment on the show called Strap On Your Feedback. And I've been dying to ask you, when you were done and you got to DC, mm-hmm. Did you just eat?
Strap on your feed bag. Go get it.
and if you did, what did you eat? Like what would you have thrown down?
Yeah. Well, I mean, what actually happened is we got into the van and we showered. Got into the van and got to the hotel that had been donated to us and we showered because, I mean, I was very, very hungry, but imagine I was even smellier than I was hungry. So went and showered. And then when it finally was time to eat, it was breakfast and I ate like literally everything.
no limits, everything.
Bacon, there was bread, I had mimosas, I had fruit, like everything. Everything I could eat. And then, of course, I was honored to be asked by Joy Reid from AM Joy, the show on MSNBC. I was honored to be asked to appear on the show. So after like feeding myself into a coma, I then went to the MSNBC studios. So.
Oh, that's excellent.
Yeah.
No. All right. So now where are you on your knee? Let's talk a little bit about that. And what's it like? Is this the first time you've been somewhat injured in your career of running? Or is this a relatively common occurrence?
This is the second time. Before this, I had plantar fasciitis, which was so annoying. So with this, like, you know, it's an overuse injury. I have runner's knee, and it's like no surprise. Like, oh, I overused my knee, right? But the stupid thing that I did is when I finished, my knees felt really, really swollen and sore, and people kept telling me to take Advil, and because like it's inflammation and it could get worse. And for some reason, I just didn't. So it really is my own fault right now. And I'm doing a lot of yoga and I'm planning to really run, walk the Boston Marathon. You know, it's an awesome course. I'll spend more time on it. So that's my take on that.
It is an awesome course and it's an awesome day. It's a race that has its own, personality and attitude and vibe and it's phenomenal. And at any speed, it's an enjoyable course. So
awesome.
That's so great that you're coming. Could we see you when you're here?
Absolutely. Oh my God. That would be great.
I was just going to say, and we may have already covered this, but I'm so sort of overwhelmed and impressed with Run for All Women. Are you setting expectations for what's coming up and for the summit, or are you awaiting to see what people who you've brought into this community, what they bring to it and how it moves forward to its next phase?
You know, it's a little bit of both. Like, we were talking, so right now, myself, Mary Arnold, and another woman, Jen Villaney, who was part of the original group of support, we put together this ambassador application. And so we started talking about, okay, like, what's the criteria that we're judging these women on? Like, what is the key thing that we're looking for? And what we decided is what made Run for All Women successful is that I personally had this massive network and platform. So I think like what we're really looking for with women is, women and men are people who have a platform and a network, and maybe they've never used it before. Like maybe it's a woman who goes to church regularly and has never really tapped into that community, but but can engage that community. And then you can find, through that network, you can then find people who can fundraise, people who can build the relay element of it. I'm excited to find some connected, charismatic, passionate people, and then see what they bring to the conversation. At the summit, we're definitely going to be talking about, like I said, some of the best practices, sharing information and talking points about Planned Parenthood and what our mission is. But then I really want to see what people's creative talents and abilities are. And when the run, like when we break it up into these national events, however many there are, I hope that the ambassadors and leaders of each of those feel like it's their own baby. Like I mentioned, I want to give them the tools to do it, and then watch them knock it out of the park. So it's a little bit of both. I have some ideas in mind of what I'm looking for, but I hope that the people bring a lot to the table as well.
I have to say, as a father of two teenage daughters, and anyone who's doing the work of empowering women is so meaningful, and what a great example you are and the organization is.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's like, again, never, I don't even know what, when people are like, what do you do? What's your career? And I'm like, I do a lot of things. So I never even imagined this was possible, but that's what's really cool about the time that we're living in, where you can somehow piece together a career out of pursuing your passion.
On that note, what would you say to someone like my daughters, someone who's a teenage girl and finding this community, creating and finding these communities through exercise and through running?
I think the key thing that I've learned is the way that running and sports in general is so powerful. Like, I think of Nelson Mandela, and he said something to the effect of sports is more powerful than governments and ending discrimination and bringing people together. Just like recognizing the value of fitness and sports beyond just the competitive part of it. Because I think when you're younger, like when I was in high school, I cared about running because I wanted to be the fastest runner. But I think as you get older, what you see is the value of sport in bringing people together, the value of sport in helping as a coping mechanism. And I think also making the connection between mental health and physical health. So I wish that when I was younger, I had gone to therapy and been open and willing to explore some of my issues, because no matter whether you're, everybody has mental health issues to different degrees, and everybody has stuff that they need to talk about and work through. And I just wish for myself that I had been more comfortable with that when I was younger. So I think for young girls in particular, like, society really does its best to make you feel like shit about yourself. So you can arm yourself with tools like sports and fitness and running and an understanding of the importance of mental health. And those are two really big tools, I think.
Wow, thank you.
Thank you for that. And on the heels of that, on our previous show, we had a psychologist on to talk about the sort of mental aspects to running, especially long distance running, around marathon training. Just curious for yourself, what does it do for you mentally to go the long distance? And do you do any listening? Do you listen to music or podcasts, or you go just your head and your thoughts?
So I generally go without just my thoughts, because how I came into running, like I said, was really through the struggles that I was having with depression. So running was always a way for me to talk through things in my head. And I really wanted to, sometimes I go for a run and I completely zone out, but I guess this is me being all or nothing. Either I'm going for a run and I'm completely zoned out, or I'm really being thoughtful and trying to understand what I'm feeling and going through. It wasn't until recently that I started listening to podcasts. So now I could definitely see myself running and listening to podcasts, because I think there's something about consistent effort, doing the same thing for a long period of time, that gets you into a meditative space and deeper understanding. So if you're listening to a really thought-provoking podcast, I think that could be a great combination.
Well, hopefully you've done that here for our many, many listeners who may or may not be running while they listen to this.
Well, Allison, thank you so much.
Okay, now we're going to hit record.
Thanks.
Oh my God, you better stop.
Thanks for sticking with us. I'm so glad that Kelly Roberts was able to reach out to you and put us in touch.
Yes, same. And I definitely want to link up in Boston. Like I said, I don't really know much because I'm on their schedule, but I would love, like, when I know more, I can connect with you.
This is great. I'm running the race too. I'm doing it for Spalding Rehabilitation here in Boston.
Oh, awesome.
And the team goes for their long runs on Saturdays and that kind of thing. And it's good. It's good. It's a good experience. And it's the only way a guy like me could get in, because there's no way I'd qualify.
Well, that's what I'm saying too. I'm like, that's why everybody's like, maybe you shouldn't run it. And I'm like, no, I'm doing it no matter what, because this might be it. So I'm going to run it.
That's funny. Well, and I have to say, personally, my wife has just become an incredibly supportive fan of yours. And
Yes, I forget. She said something really funny on social media, and she was like, and I'm like, you'll be speaking to him soon. But that's great.
Now, you take male ambassadors too, right? It's not just female only. Is that correct?
Yeah, exactly. And I keep catching myself to make sure that I say that, because actually one interesting thing that came out of, we had a recap 2 weeks or 3 weeks later where we had like a panel discussion, and my boyfriend was on the trip with me, and one of the woman's husband was there for part of it. And he was like, he was most disappointed in the fact that he felt that not enough men were supportive in some way. And I said, you know, like the name itself, Run for All Women, could have had something to do with it, but certainly like part of the summit is looking at how can men help empower and support women. So I do hope that we get men who apply to be ambassadors, and because I'd like for there to be like a workshop that talks directly to men about what they can do and like how we can support each other, really, because women's rights are human rights. So that's definitely an important part of it.
Yeah, and I think that's really important messaging, because as I like to think of myself as an enlightened man, I also always want to be careful to never feel like I'm, let me mansplain to you running and what women's rights are. And like, so you always want to be deferential and be careful. So I think it's extremely important to know that yes, men are welcome and men can be supportive and do these things. But to give them the understanding of how it is, because honestly, I get confused. Like I should not talk. I'm not going to talk.
No, it is. I mean, it's so confusing. I think that's in like gender relations. I think that's in race relations. I think it's, you know, we just like, it's because we don't talk about this stuff that we don't know how to talk about it. So it's not surprising.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
That's a huge point. Okay. Where were you physically calling from? It sounded very interesting there.
Oh, I'm actually at Columbia University Library, and I'm in this, like, it almost looks like a cathedral ceilings. So I'm sitting, that's why my voice is probably bouncing all over the place.
No, you sound good.
No, it sounds good.
Oh, good, okay. Well, yeah, it's the acoustics at Teachers College of Columbia University.
You should do all your interviews from there.
Noted.
What's that been like, other than the MSNBC, what's the one that's blown you away in terms of a reach out from the press?
I mean, MSNBC, like, hands down.
That's
just
huge.
Because, yeah, the idea of appearing on national television is so scary to me. But then when I went into the room and it was me, Joy Reid, and like a producer, I totally forgot, which freaked me out even more, because I was like, what did I say? Like, there's so many people who are about to see this. But I mean, she's an incredible host. It just felt like the same way we're talking. It felt like a really comfortable conversation. So like, hands down, that's the biggest thing for now. Let's see what happens.
Well, you're incredibly gracious to be with us and to give us 3 or 4 attempts at this. Thank
no
you
problem.
So much. It means the world to us. So thank you.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear it. Thank you.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Peter, how excellent is Allison?
She's beyond excellent, and she's inspiring, and it's incredible, all of it. The amount of money she raised, the amount of awareness that's happening, the community involvement, look out.
I'll say this.
Please.
I'm glad she lives in New York, because if she came to our little city, she'd take it over. She'd be the mayor and the governor.
She would be, and she'd run this show. She'd take this
over. Oh, we wouldn't be
allowed to do this anymore.
No.
Boy, I hope we can get together around the day of the marathon. That'd be terrific to see her.
That'll be great.
I hope she enjoys running that race.
and I hope you do too.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, you're running the Boston Marathon,
Peter. I'll be all right. I'll be just fine, Brian. Don't be worried about me.
Peter, I ran into Corinne Griffiths recently.
The running unicorn?
The running unicorn.
Okay.
She's putting in huge miles.
Yes, she is.
She's doing pretty well on the fundraising.
Good for her.
Just wanted to give her a little shout out.
Well,
say good job, Corinne.
She's definitely, I'm going to say, in the top five fans right now. She's jockeying for top spot. Not to make anybody feel threatened.
We have a top five
list? Yeah, I have a tote board, secret, that I'd never want to say out loud.
I think you, now that you've let the genie out of the bottle,
I'll share it with you
privately. I want to hear this.
Off mic. But I'm just saying.
I'm just saying two different people on the internet put us in their top five running podcasts. I'm going to tell you that.
That I like. If anybody wants to do that, you go ahead and do that. We like that.
If anybody has a blog.
If anybody's blogging.
Or an internet page.
Or the ability to change the iTunes homepage. You go ahead.
New and noteworthy?
Yeah, new and noteworthy. Or
I see some familiar faces in new and noteworthy lately.
Yeah, how about that, Kelly Roberts? You go ahead, Kelly Roberts.
She's doing great.
She's crushing it. She's giving us all a good little run for the time.
She's doing everything right when it comes to podcasts about running.
And BQing. She's going to crush it.
Kelly Roberts, you're the best.
Kelly Roberts, remember who we are.
Don't kick the ladder.
When you're flying over to London, make sure you wave at us. We'll see you at the beer mile.
Hey!
This has been episode 68 of How Is Your Run Today with Peter Villa and Brian Gould. Music by Jeff Cronenberg. Anna Brooks is our social media guru. Andrea Bonnie Gould is our artist in residence. And a very special thanks to Allison DeSeer.
Listen to us every week wherever you collect podcasts. Peter keeps his with a spoon made out of crackers. But whenever you visit that special podcast place, please give us a rating and a comment. Every single one of those makes a difference in how this little here show is ranked.
And join us every Saturday on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram with your Sat Stat Chats. Tell us where you ran, how the weather was, and include a sweet, sweet photo.
Fulfill all of your HWYRT shopping needs at our Redbubble store.
And if you love HWYRT, please share our posts on social media. It's free and easier than confessing your nutritional sins to an angry Brian.
That's accurate. For everything else, please go to hwyrt.com.
Thanks for being my guardian nutritionist angel.
Hey, have a salad for lunch. That's all I have to say.
Oh, you're right.
Mantra.
You need that funny, and I need that funny.
Yeah.
Alternate credits, take two.
Soft sticks. Hi, I'm testing this microphone. It looks fine. How's yours?
Oh, you can't always get what you want.